Hey everybody, good morning and welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. It is Wednesday, March 13th. We are presented by Compliment. That is at lovecompliment.com. It's not just a random advertiser. That's the site, the company that we own that makes the show. So it's a big deal. We try not to let that seep into the content too much. We don't want to bias it or make it a brand show or anything like that. But you know, it, now and then, got to remind people. That's why we do it. That's how we keep the lights on in this place. Okay, got some fun stuff today. Let's get dug in here real quick, and then we'll really start.
Good morning, Matt. I got a question for you. Good
morning, how's it going? What's up? What's your question?
If we were gonna have a random sponsor, who would you want it to be? Or what? Maybe not. Maybe a specific company. But yeah, like more broadly, a genre company.
Well, you know what makes me happier than anything? If Oatly and their ad wizards would make a custom ad that was just for this show, and it was meant to be the most awkward possible thing you can imagine, and no one would get it.
Oh,
but,
man.
But somehow that would be the bit that's the point. I don't know. That might work well with our audience.
That would be pretty good.
I'd enjoy that. I like that company. I'd have no problem with that. We just would need to make sure we approve the ad. I don't know. What about you?
That's better than I was thinking about. For a long time we wanted like the plant-based meat advertisement, and I think we've kind of moved beyond that a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, it has to be something cheese related, I think.
Yeah, cheese would be good. A melt ad, the new cheese. Mm-hmm. We could be the forerunners. It's funny, I was walking out the door yesterday, I put the dogs in the crate to go to soccer practice, in two separate crates, of course, and our podcast is on because I always put the show on for the dogs to hear, and that's how we rack up listens. And I was listening, and then suddenly there was this pause, so I perked up, and then I heard this Beyond Steak ad start playing for the new Beyond Steak, and I was like, "What? Like, how is there ads on this? Like, we're not getting paid. We don't have any deal. Is Amazon making smart ads and they're mixing it in here?" And it turned out it was you playing the ad when we discussed Beyond ad.
Right.
It's some old episode. I don't know how Alexa chooses them or what, but. Yeah, I thought it was funny. And I thought that we should get us. There should be that. This show is perfectly targeted for those kind of sponsors. Better than any show on the internet, really. Like Rich Rolls doesn't, a Beyond Meat thing doesn't go anymore on there. It'd be okay. It'd be fine. But like this is the market for that. So at some point they're going to notice us.
Some point they've got to.
Yeah, got to.
Or they've got to. They better. They better freaking notice us.
I know. They need to notice us soon. Or the lights aren't going to be staying on for much longer. That's actually not true.
No, not at all. No.
All right. Well, like I said, I went to soccer practice yesterday. Tried to do a little walking around because I've not been doing much exercising. Mm-hmm. But I did. Here's what I've been doing on the theme, I guess, of small steps. I told you I've been really struggling to get back to working out. I've just kind of hit this slump in the beginning of the year, and I took two weeks off and trying to get back into it. I started doing like one third of a workout each day because that just seems like a totally approachable chunk. So like yesterday, it's supposed to be a full body thing, the plan that I'm doing. And I just couldn't bear to do that. So I just did chest and shoulders. Today I'll do abs and back. And then tomorrow I'll do the legs. I mean, that's the plan. It's possible that I will shirk on those commitments, but I don't know. I think I've learned a lot in however many years I've kind of tried to pay attention to habits and stuff.
Yeah.
And this one actually does work well. The old, just like, if you don't feel like it, just do a half of it or a third of it of whatever you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's how you avoid massive slumps and gaps.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, I'm not so much struggling to work out. Like I'm still going for a run, but you know, as we were talking about yesterday, I've been just feeling out of my body and not feeling good about my run or my fitness. And I'm taking that same approach, right? Just 10 minutes of something consistent every day that will hopefully help me do that. So, I mean, there's something very much to just the minimal effort habit and then seeing where that takes you.
Right. Yep. Speaking of that, did you do your breath work this morning?
Darn right. I did.
About yourself? Yeah.
I feel good about myself. Yeah.
Do you say positive affirmations during the breath work that says my body is good. My body is a temple.
No, today I did like 4 seconds in, hold for two, 4 seconds out, hold for two.
Okay.
For a few minutes. I don't know if it was
that's like five minutes, but that's a thing, right? That's like a known ratio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear about those now and then. I think Andrew Weil has some famous one. 4-7. No, maybe it's, I don't know. There's all kinds
of them, I think sometimes the breathing out is longer. So you like breathe in for 4 and out for 6 kind of thing.
Mm, okay.
But the holding, I like the holding part of it, the top and the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I did the alternate nostril breathing.
Yeah.
Which is good for a little energy boost.
Mm-hmm. I like that stuff. I really like, I know I made fun of it yesterday saying that's not going to give you a body transformation, which I don't think is what you're looking for anyway, but it just sounded like it.
Don't understand why my abs are more defined after all this breathing.
My nostrils are looking great, but the abs. I don't know. Like I've never really committed to it for any amount of time. I did this like 40 minute yoga thing for 40 minutes or 40 days in a row in COVID, and it focused a lot on breathing, but it didn't stick. But I always like the idea of these breathing methods. It's just, I find it seductive that like the idea that you can breathe and get calmed or get into a mood, manage your state certain ways. And it does feel good in the moment. So I'm curious if people know about that. Kate says the Wim Hof breathing is supposed to be good. And I hear that as well from Sid Garza-Hillman's big into the Sid Garza or the Wim Hof stuff. I think he's certified in some way, but I'm curious if people like that or have resources. Cause I would get into trying that out.
Bridgers recommends yoga with Adrian. It has a playlist of yoga practices.
Yeah, why are everybody saying that? Is that a man or a woman, Adrian?
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. I guess it doesn't matter. But I'm just curious if it's like all the girls like him or something. And that's why they're recommending him.
Did multiple people recommend them?
Yeah, someone yesterday was talking about it. And then I think Bianca was doing it and somebody said, yeah. So I just don't know. Before I go around and start saying this, I want to know what I'm getting into before I start making this recommendation. Adrian Mishler. It's a woman.
It's a woman with a cute dog named Benji.
Okay.
Adrian's great, says River Cat.
Benji, also the name of Taylor Swift's dog, if you didn't know that. There's a meme coin that is named after. Actually, it's a cat. Sorry, it's a cat. So.
Have you invested?
I have invested.
To the moon?
I have invested. It hasn't gone to the moon, but it will. Once the mainstreamers, once they get onboarded onto crypto, that they're going to get Benji.
Okay. All right. All the Swifties.
Yeah, exactly.
Just
think how many there are and how.
It's
probably the most famous cat in the world right now.
What if a Taylor Swift meme coin is the one that actually people start using on a day-to-day basis? That'd be pretty
cool. I mean, I think it'll be something like that. Like whatever brings the normies over is going to be something that is not lowest common denominator, because I think she's good. I mean, she's okay. Yeah. I mean, you guys think she's good. But it's going to be something like that, something goofy.
She's a legend, Matt.
Speaking of which, I heard this is somehow in the same category in my mind that Aaron Rodgers was potentially going to be the running mate of Robert Kennedy. Did you hear that, Doug?
Is that true?
I heard it's like a real thing that's like being discussed, and I think he said he'd be interested. And the reason that's in the same category is like that seems like the dumbest move ever. Just like Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor seemed like a crazy thing, or the Jesse the Body Ventura. But like that stuff, you know, people
they're both loved by the anti-vax community. So.
Ah, okay. So I didn't know any of that
anti-vax statements. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there you go. Could be a match made in heaven.
Can be. That's funny.
All right. Well, let's jump into our show. We don't have a ton of content today. I think there might be just one weather report item, but I do have the sound machine up and running.
Well, so hold on. We haven't said hi to anyone.
No, we haven't. You're right.
And I was waiting for you to say hi to Mr. Jeffrey, because I have some Mr. Jeffrey news.
Oh, okay. Well, let's say hi to people, and then let's say hi to Mr. Jeffrey.
I was messaging with him on Discord yesterday. So there you go. If you're on Discord and you want to chat, hit us up. Mm-hmm. Might respond. This was like 3 weeks ago that I was responding to something. But he's running 50K this weekend, Chuck a Nut. And so I wanted to wish him good luck.
Definitely. Chuck a Nut. Like, it's like break a leg, sort of say. Like, Chuck a Nut, Mr. Jeffrey.
Chuck a Nut. It's a famous one in Washington State.
Okay. Never heard of it. That's good. Mr. Jeffrey's done 50Ks before, right?
Yep.
Just one?
I don't know that for sure. He ran Mendocino. I know that last year.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. Good luck, Mr. Jeffrey. Tell us how that goes. I'd love to hear it. Hello then this morning to those who have said hello. Remember, if you just attend, you don't get a shout out. So you have to chime in. Brandon Turner, Lady Draws a Lot, who I haven't seen in a little while. Dale Stevens, Sarah Slip, also haven't seen her in a little while. Aaron Jenkins, Britters, Matt O'Connor, Allie, Larry Libby, Mr. Jeffrey, Big Me the X Claws, Amory, Kate. I think that's it. I like how people just start saying good morning here and everybody chimes in. It's like a thing now. Mm-hmm. I guess is that what all YouTube shows do? Where people just start?
I don't know,
but it's a good thing. And Jeff's here too.
Yeah. All right. So break out that sound machine. Let's do it.
Let's jump into the report of the weather.
Morning report.
And it's just one, and it's not that good. It's a statistic. The statistic is from a 2024 survey conducted in Germany by YouGov. That's YOUGov. And the think tank Good Food Institute Europe, who very, very much pro-vegan people. So you always got to keep that in mind. At least I do when I read their stuff. They looked at 2,000 people aged 18. I'm missing the end cap here. It just says aged 18 in a representative sample of the German population. What they said is that 58% think they eat too many animal products. 49% think more alternatives to meat, fish, eggs, and dairy should be available. And 65% support the introduction of cultivated meat into the market. 53% already aware of it. 47% express willingness to try it, which is not really a shocking stat now that we hear how many things go to Germany. But it's really funny how I think about 10 years ago, we started hearing that Germany was kind of a hotspot for plant-based things. And it seemed like the most false statement possible, because it was like, that just seems like the most old traditional meat-eating country or meat-eating culture. At least from our perspective, it's like that. They must just eat sausages all the time and all that stuff. schnitzels and whatever else.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. 67%. I mean, that's a huge number. Cause I think if you asked that over here, you'd have 20% saying we should have cultivated meat. And that's about when I talk to people about it, generally they're not interested whatsoever. Like, have you ever found someone? Yeah. Your circles are think that's a good thing or an interesting thing.
I mean, I don't know if, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe like mixed reactions. I think people are interested, like just kind of like fascinated by it.
Yeah. I think for the most part, people don't even know or believe that it's here or coming.
Right.
They think it's just a made up thing, but then it's always like, well, I wouldn't eat that. Like, I'm not interested in having that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But it doesn't have to. But it doesn't have to be for them necessarily, right? Like it could be for, I don't know. There could be entire demographics that this ends up serving that is not our demographic. I don't know. It just, who knows?
I mean, it has to be. It has to be for them. It has to be for everybody.
But it could be for it could if the cost got really cheap, right? And this became by way cheaper because that's the. It's not about being friendly to animals. That's not why people are doing this, right? They're doing it because they think it's the only practical, sustainable way to have meat going to the future, especially as some of these developing countries develop and want meat. So I think, you know, maybe a lower – when it becomes way cheaper, maybe it'll be attractive to a way different demographic. I mean, I have no idea. It's just a massive thing.
I think the way it's going to be adopted is not people buying cultivated meat steaks, you know, or chicken breasts,
right?
But where it's in the nuggets, it's in the
right,
like all this it's kind of process food. In the dog food, in the like, I don't know,
yeah, that's a really good point,
and stuff like that.
You so know, that you don't even know how much percent your thing necessarily is cultivated and how much is real, if any,
yeah, and you're just not thinking about it because you're not looking at a piece of steak or a piece of chicken breast and thinking like, oh, this was made in a lab. You're eating a burger or a nugget or whatever, and you're not even really thinking about what's in it. That's how I think it's going to be done.
We kind of predicted that years ago. I remember I was in my apartment, so at least 2 years ago, we said that about plant-based meat. Before we were thinking about cultivated meat, we said one day this stuff's going to be so good and the tech's going to be there with the precision fermentation or whatever. Like, it's going to be indistinguishable, and you're going to order meat at a deli, and people aren't going to know which one they're getting because they don't care. It's just indistinguishable, and it's just how it goes. And maybe the pure, you know, 100% real meat becomes a gourmet delicacy that people who can afford it spend on. But the cultivated meat in that role, that makes a lot of sense to me. Sounds like you could see that happening. I could. Mm-hmm.
Big Meaty X Claus says, I wonder if this is going back to the stats on Germany. I wonder if the fact that the meat they do eat is mostly sausage and schnitzel is motivated. It motivated the healthy move away from those.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, so I didn't quite understand this. Were all the participants aged 18?
No, I think it's a typo. I think they forgot to put in the something else, because certainly that wouldn't be representative of the German culture.
So like 18 and up maybe or something.
Yep. So anyway, there you go. That's your only bit of weather report. I saw there was a little bit about the Expo West goings on and a new lion's mane steak from one of these companies, but it was just an ad, so I didn't put it in. Who knows? I mean, they could be rolling out all kinds of stuff at that Expo West. Who knows what goes on over there behind those closed doors? I'm not getting into that.
Do you know what I had last night for dinner?
Yes, burritos.
No, I did not.
Okay.
Plant Strong, our friends Rip Esselstyn. This is not an ad for Plant Strong, but I thought it was great. They have this new veggie burger mix that you just kind of add basically water.
I heard about this.
And it, I mean, it's like, it's a dried mix. You add water and you pan fry it up. Or bake it or whatever you want to do. I think Katie made it. I think she baked it. But so basically it's like taking the veggie burger formula that you made, drying it out, kind of then re-moistening it, obviously, or whatever you call it, rehydrating it. It was so good. And so
you don't have to add anything else, just water?
I don't think so. I think it's just water. Katie made them. I didn't make them, but I'm pretty sure it's just water.
Yeah, that does sound pretty good. Because then you get basically a fresh,
you get a
steaming fresh veggie burger.
Absolutely, and it's it had beans in it, and it had all these grains in it, and it follows the Plant Strong philosophy of like no oil and all this stuff,
right?
I thought it was just absolutely great. Emery's had them. They have a mushroom and a black bean, but they're out of stock now. Just add water.
Okay.
Insider tip, because I messaged Plant Strong this morning to let them know that I tried it and that I thought it was great. They said that it'll be back in stock soon. So there you go.
And you buy this from their website or from the grocery store? I mean, not you. You of course received it in the mail, direct post to you from them. Gift.
I got it from my friends at Plant Strong. But you do buy it from their website.
Okay. If you're not Doug Hay, you buy it from the website. Mm-hmm. That's how it is done. Good. Okay. We have a bag of Trader Joe's meatless crumbles in the cabinet that no one is eating. And I was thinking this was the same thing, because you would add water to that, saute it up, and then you have basically ground, veggie burger stuff. But that's very different. And then you put that in pasta sauce or whatever, or tacos. But that is a dehydrated veggie burger kind of thing, but it just would never form a whole burger. And it's obviously not healthy like the Engine 2 stuff is.
No, but it made me like appreciate the good old classic veggie burger with real vegetables
in it. I mean, it is a good burger. The classic veggie burger. All right. Well, we got a couple things today, and none like big enough to carry the whole show, but all of them kind of funny, kind of good, interesting. So we'll just see where we get. The first one I got is from WECB.FM. I mean, I don't know what in the world that URL is. Maybe just the radio station. But what it is, it's another one of these airline vegan meals, and funny post about them. This person at Changing Cases on X, she asked for a vegan meal. They, I guess, assured her that it would be a hot meal, and maybe even assured her about a free upgrade based on her tweet. I don't know about that. But what she got when everybody else was getting a hot meal, and when the airplane food starts to come out and everyone, it actually smells pretty good and you get excited for what's going to be your comforting food on a long haul flight. She got 11 pieces of tangerine, 4 pieces of pineapple, and you know that wouldn't be good fresh pineapple by any means.
No, definitely not.
And a handful of nuts. And it's actually a pretty big handful of nuts in the picture. So
it's, yeah, like it's a whole cup full of nuts.
Yeah, it's a lot of nuts. This is actually, I mean, this is the meal that we recommend people eat when they're on the go and you don't have time.
I think we recommended this exact meal.
I mean, this is the
when
perfect.
When you're at the airport.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you're kind of hungry and you're traveling, that then you want to stay healthy. Like, this is what to eat.
Uh-huh.
So, go ahead.
I mean, I think it's like maybe with international airlines, it's different. I guess I just don't ever expect a meal on an airplane anymore. And 6 hours isn't that long of a flight.
Her flight was across the Atlantic? It was coming from Kenya, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you always get one transatlantic, just 100% of the time.
Transatlantic, you get one. Okay.
Yeah.
Always. I guess it's been a while since I've done that.
Yeah. And as much as I think it's a good hack to recommend eating this way, like if you just don't want to make dinner one night or you're traveling, mm-hmm. and it's a great way to eat. I mean, it's fantastic. When you're on an airplane, it's just, you know, no one likes being on an airplane, really. So, like, a nice hot mm-hmm. meal in the middle of the flight, or yeah. even early in the flight before you go to sleep, it's just a good thing. So, to get this would really be quite a letdown. So, I do understand why she's disappointed. And, I mean, you'd kind of wish that if you're going to request a vegan meal, they let you know that that's what you're going to be getting, so that you at least right. are aware and you can bring something else.
Yeah.
So, I don't actually mind the complaining about this. I'm not saying because you're a vegan, you are entitled to just as good a meal as everybody else, right? I don't know. Again, you're making a diet choice and expect mm-hmm. there's going to be some sacrifices. So I'm not
if
here
they
to
say there's, if they say there's going to be a vegan meal, it should at least be right. a meal and not a snack.
Exactly. It's just what you expect. If it's not what you're expecting, mm-hmm. it's not good. Could leave you too hungry on the flight.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What would you do in this situation? Would you complain? Would you go to X and...
I might put this up on Twitter as a joke or something. I mean, mm-hmm. not that I would, because I haven't posted on Twitter in who knows how many years. But I would share this as a funny thing. But I wouldn't roast the airline for it, I don't think. Maybe I would in hopes of them giving me like a free thing.
I know, you'd probably get $700 yeah. worth of, because they made an apology and said they were going to compensate her for it, which I'm sure is not a meal ticket. I bet it's, you know, $100 to a new flight or something.
Yeah, yeah. But I would definitely not, get all ugly at the workers and things about this. I would eat it, stay quiet, and then later get on the internet, complain.
Yeah. Did I tell you about the free whiskey I got on my California trip? I think I might have said that.
No. Why did you get that?
I don't know. I have no idea why I got it. I was, you know, I was with the kids, of course. Mm-hmm. It was a late flight, you know. Departed at 8 p.m. or something. And so I ordered a cocktail and they gave me a double or two cocktails and didn't charge me. I have mm-hmm. no idea why. I was like, this is great. I didn't need two cocktails, but I had them.
They didn't charge you for either one?
No, for nothing. They didn't charge me anything.
Maybe Nomad Athlete fan. And they just wanted to send you an anonymous thank you for all the years of work.
Yeah.
Every now and then on an airplane, I will get a free drink for unexplained reason. If you just order a beer or whatever, and they just mm-hmm. don't ask you for your card, and you never know why. Mm-hmm. Most of the time they do though.
Yeah, I was happy about it.
Yeah, definitely. You drank them up,
drank both of them. I really didn't need both of them. I was, but they were free.
Yeah, that's right. When you're flying, anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the next jokey one before we get to the serious one. Everyone likes these "Am I the A-holes?" I'm not going to say the word because we'll get marked, flagged, or whatever. It's from Reddit, and I found it somewhere else. I forget where, but here's what it is. From only 2 days ago, my family has a cherished tradition of Sunday dinners. It's a special time for us, and I take pride in making meals everyone enjoys. Lately, things have gotten a little complicated since my brother's wife Lily became vegan. She's a wonderful person, and I respect her dietary choices. I always have vegan sides and sometimes even desserts. But Lily would prefer a separate, complete vegan meal every week. I understand where she's coming from, but I'm already stretched thin between my job, side projects, and trying to have a life outside of the kitchen. Making an entire second meal feels overwhelming. Last Sunday, I gently asked Lily if she'd be willing to bring a vegan dish to share sometimes. I want her to feel included, but I'm honestly struggling to keep up. My brother was upset, saying I was being unwelcoming. My parents want to keep the peace, but I feel resentful. Am I wrong for wanting to set some boundaries? I want to find a way to make our dinners work for everyone without burning myself out. What do you think, Doug?
She's totally the a-hole.
She is.
The whole, she should make the whole meal vegan for everybody.
There's, because one person's vegan, they're going to...
Yeah.
One person has decided to become vegan, they're going to change the whole tradition for everybody. The cherished family tradition.
Absolutely. Yep.
Including the parents. You don't really think that. I'm sure you don't think that.
No, I don't think that at all. No, no. The I mean, I'm not gonna say that the sister-in-law is an a-hole, but I do think she's being very unreasonable here, and the brother's being unreasonable for giving her a hard time. I mean, if she's already accommodating her with some vegan sides and even vegan desserts, like, I mean, that's pretty good in my opinion. If someone's cooking you dinner every week,
right?
Which, why is this person cooking her whole entire family dinner every single week? I don't know, but I mean, that's a pretty big accommodation already. You know, if you want to bring some sort of veggie burger or something like that that you just throw in the skillet and eat that along with your sides, like that.
Right.
That's the way to go. It's unreasonable to think that someone should cook you a vegan meal every time.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe if like she was part of a group of friends or she was around when this tradition began and it was said, hey, we're going to start having dinner and we know you're vegan. Maybe then there'd be some sort of accommodation made or expected to be made. Even then, I don't think it would be, but possibly you could see them saying, okay, we'll always have you a separate thing. And it just becomes a thing we do. But if you go vegan, you know, you're making that choice and you currently have this tradition, you need to expect that the tradition's not going to adapt to you. You have to adapt somehow. And that means bringing your own thing, being grateful for there just being sides and being okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean, you just would not ask for a separate entire meal. She says this woman's a wonderful person though, and she respects her dietary choices. So if she's such a wonderful person, it's weird that she would have this entitlement.
Yeah.
But some people are just clueless.
Yeah. I mean, I think that must be it. She's just clueless. I don't know. A whole nother meal. It just seems a little.
What would you do though if you were in this person's position? If you were the cook, and you know the sister-in-law comes and says, "Hey, I'd really like you to make me this vegan meal each time."
I think I would just say no. I would say, you know, I'll make some vegan sides, but if you want some sort of other dish, like that's up to you.
I think I would say no. I think I'd be a pushover and I'd say, "Well, I'll try to make always pick a meal that we can easily veganize." One serving of it by not adding the cheese at the end or whatever would go in a non-vegan meal.
But then you would just resent them every single week and it would build and build and you were doing this for years and years.
True.
And then it would get annoying. It would bleed into all your interactions with them that were even unfood related. Like I would get the fight out of the way. I'd say no, make everybody mad for a couple of weeks and then you'd move on.
That happened with my children, especially my son eating beans. We've been adapting all the years and I've just started to hate it. And I'm just like, you know what? And it bleeds into our other interactions. It's ruining our relationship. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not doing it anymore. You eat the beans or find a way to do something else. I'm not doing a whole separate thing anymore.
And now he hates you. Now you don't speak to each other.
Yeah, exactly. No, I actually haven't taken that stand. We continue to accommodate and do what we can, but it does make me mad. I don't know. He has these textural kind of issues. So it's not his fault. I do sometimes just want to make one dinner. It'd be nice to all have the same
thing. You come home every day. You know, you leave your little office every day. You walk out and your son is just chowing down on pretzels and you're just like, ugh.
Exactly. That's right. Pretzels are terrible. Salt, white flour. Just worthless food.
You know, I think about every time I eat pretzels, or like pretzels are served, you know, as a snack or whatever, which is fairly often. I mean, a couple times a week. Like I think of you and I, you know, just, it doesn't change any habits, but I think of you and your resentment towards them.
Okay, good. All right. I mean, I don't mind pretzels. I mind people getting addicted and not being able to stop. And they just end up eating a ton of that worthless food. Mm-hmm. Little pretzels here and there, fine, good.
Mr. Jeffrey says, I would say no, but offer once every so many weeks doing a full vegan meal for everyone.
That's a good idea.
That is a great idea. Yeah.
But not everyone's a chef like Mr. Jeffrey. We can't make a full vegan meal if we're not vegan.
Mm.
Right, because this woman's, Mr. Jeffrey's a vegan and he's a chef. This woman probably just makes her family's standards. But anyway, but that's different. Different situation.
But maybe it's a growing opportunity for them, you know?
You're right. I'm curious if nobody objects and no one says the vegan is right here, which in a whole show full of vegans, I would think someone would say, you know, give the vegan their own meal every time. But maybe not. Maybe we've cultivated an audience of reasonable vegans. All right, on to the last one, which we had yesterday, but didn't get to it. It's from plantbasednews.org. Dairy is worse than Coca-Cola, says leading longevity expert. And that leading longevity expert is Michael Greger. He spoke about the health impacts of dairy with Chris Evans on the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. I don't know that show. Do you, Doug?
No.
You seem to know all the podcasts. No?
I do not.
Okay. He was there discussing How Not to Age, which my mom says is an excellent book, by the way. All right. And so this is the plant-based news kind of, you know, they were opportunistic here and jumped on this thing, which is really, I don't think his entire stance, but they were referencing some fun headlines from the book. And Evans asked Greger if Coca-Cola is good for you. Greger said only compared to dairy milk, for example, in terms of IGF-1, this pro-aging hormone. And he then made very clear that Coca-Cola was not in any way healthy in a general sense, says the article. So, I mean, IGF-1 is this insulin-like growth factor 1. It's dairy is known to increase the amount of that floating around in your body, in your bloodstream. And that is linked, I think, pretty strongly, clearly linked to tumor growth and also to growth in general. It's what helps a baby cow grow as big as they do, as quickly as they do. But that if there is a cancer link with dairy, that is probably the mechanism by which it happens. So there's that. And so all the vegan doctors, they're worried about IGF-1. They don't want it.
Yeah.
It apparently any complete animal protein seems to raise IGF-1 levels. And some, like, you know, bodybuilder types think this is a good thing. They want to do that. And I think I've even seen it listed as like a benefit on protein powders and things, that it will increase your IGF-1 levels, but you wouldn't want it for long-term health. So anyway, there was a study that showed some men drinking Coca-Cola over a 10-day period and then switching to the opposite, switching to the milk, and the IGF levels went way up. So in this case, you know, in that one instance, yes, it is healthier. Greger does say what kind of we just said. When you're a kid, extra growth is good, but when you're an adult, extra growth can mean a tumor. So that's why you don't want these high IGF-1. Yeah. And then finally, they point out that he has previously stated that a plant-based diet and regular exercise routine may reduce our IGF-1 levels in less than 2 weeks. So the problem is with the article, you know, he didn't really say it's healthier than dairy. He said only in this one case. I mean, no, he didn't, I guess. I guess he said only compared to dairy milk is Coca-Cola good for you. Yeah. And for example, the IGF-1. So that's the example. Are there other examples and aspects that make this worse? Because Coca-Cola has a whole lot more sugar. I don't know about more calories, but a whole lot more sugar for sure. And it's all the hyper or the ultra processing and all that. I don't know if I could take the side that Coca-Cola is better for you than dairy ounce for ounce. And I don't even think Greger would necessarily take that if he thought about it.
What? So help me understand, like Coke Zero, for example, or some sort of zero calorie, zero sugar soda.
Okay.
Why is that bad for you? Like what is in there that would be bad for you?
Whatever makes it sweet, right? Whatever makes it sweet is I think often the problem thing. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm sure there's many more things. Like, isn't Coca-Cola like corrosive? It'll like wear away nails, and like if you put a nail in a thing, like it'll go away. Yeah. So like that's bad. Obviously, it's UPF. So if you think UPF is bad, then you know that's all it is. It's just full of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This with the sugar thing, and by the way, I don't know anything almost about this stuff at all. But those sugars, apparently, a lot of times your body actually gives the exact or a very very similar response as it would if it were real sugar. So even if they're getting around that, somehow, if you're tricking the body into thinking this tastes like sugar, so much of the same effects are created. And then a lot of those things end up being shown to, you know, link to cancers or whatever, right? Like aspartame, or whatever these other artificial sweeteners. So people are just afraid of the artificial stuff. But I don't know. You do hear every now and then people say you're better off drinking a regular soda than the Pepsi ones and the diet sodas and all that.
Regular soda than
like a full sugar one than the zero sugar ones. And that's an interesting question because then you're, you know, kind of controlling for all the UPF nature, right? Because you're already, it's already full of junk. Both are full of the junk. Both are corrosive. The question is real sugar better than the fake sugar? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is or not.
So, I mean, I just like Googled it in Healthline, an article coming up on Healthline. You know, obviously this is unvetted, but you know, the first, there's 11 reasons why soda is bad for you. The first 10 are all about sugar, right? So if you're doing a non-sugar version, but the last one, is talks about the, phosphoric acid and carbonic acid are corrosive to your teeth. So, you know, make you vulnerable for tooth decay. So that's a good reason there, but.
Okay. Gregory Green chimes in. Coke Zero is way better for you than real Coke. As far as aspartame goes, the dose makes the poison. It's just not that they're in high enough quantities. And that may be right. That's, I don't really know anything about the levels that are in there and how much of aspartame is associated with that. I didn't even know if aspartame was the thing. I know that used to be what was in like Splenda and stuff. But yeah, I think it's a good point, right? If it's not enough of it, then it's not necessarily going to be carcinogenic.
Do they spike your blood sugar in the same way that?
Like that's where that's what I think it, when they talk about the body's response being the same, I think that's where you would see that. But I just don't know. I don't have anything like that in front of me.
Yeah.
Bridger says Mexican cola with cane sugar for the win. See, I don't know if cane sugar is really any healthier than high fructose corn syrup. I think it's what I've seen, sugar is sugar, and it doesn't matter whether it's maple syrup or cane sugar or high fructose corn syrup. There's very, very little difference. It's still just sugar. So I don't know, but I get it, and I see that it would seem more desirable to drink one. They taste better.
It certainly tastes better. At least in my mind, it tastes better. Who knows if it actually tastes better, but
yeah, me too. Might be a placebo. Very likely. You get that good glass bottle. Easy to be tricked. Is my thing choppy all of a sudden in my video? It's like suddenly my computer's slowing down.
Not
noticing.
You're good.
Okay.
Nope.
Good. All right.
Gregory Green says that no, they don't spike his blood sugar anyway, as he tests.
Oh, okay. Right. Good. Mr. Jeffrey has a good comment here.
After my own heart. Sorry. I don't drink it for health. I drink it because it's delicious with my burritos.
Yeah. Hey, again, dose makes the poison. So as long as you're not doing that all the time, every day, you know, and I do believe that, right? I'm not here to say you should never eat pretzels or anything like that. It's just now and then, but not all the time. And that's the problem with pretzels. It becomes an all day, all the time thing. All right.
You drink soda, I think, more than I do, actually.
I think I did. I haven't had one in a long, long time, but I do. You're right. I think I said once a quarter, maybe once every 2 months. I may have gotten up to once.
Is that
a month.
Even. I thought it was more than that.
Yeah. Definitely not more than once a month, but I haven't had that amount in a long time. Yeah. All right. Mr. Jeffrey had a good comment here. We were talking about the vegan thing, the am I the a-hole thing? He said, well, Garuda isn't here. Cause I said, does anyone have no one here is going to object to this and say the vegan deserves a real meal. And he said, well, Garuda's not here. So there's no one to take the contrary side. And it would have been great if Garuda showed up and started saying the vegan serves their own meal and everyone should accommodate to all dietary wishes at the table. All right. Well, that brings us to the end, slightly early again, even with a slightly late start. So who knows why, but just not that much interesting stuff today. But we're making the best of it. It's a good, having a good time. Yeah. Anything else, Doug? Any final thoughts before we?
Are we going to do some St. Patrick's Day discussion tomorrow? Any favorite Irish vegan Irish dishes?
I can't believe St. Patrick's Day is here. I forgot all about the whole holiday.
It's Saturday, I think. Friday, Saturday.
14, 15. Sunday.
My family, my mother-in-law is a big St. Patrick's Day celebrator
and has
somehow passed that on to my kids. They love it. They're already wearing all their green all week, all their shamrocks all week. And they're very fired up for St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, we usually decorate for all the holidays for the kids' sake. I don't know why we haven't done any of that yet. Hmm. And often Aaron will make a Irish soda bread. And that's kind of the extent of our St. Patrick's Day. I used to do a Guinness, but then I kind of went anti-Irish. I became just against Irish things and traditions.
why?
I must have talked about this on a previous morning show, that my general distaste for St. Patrick's Day. When everybody is like so proud of being Irish and everybody wishes they were Irish, when in fact, uh-huh. like, okay, great. You drink a lot of alcohol. That sounds great. I really don't mind Irish people. I don't like when everyone thinks everyone wishes
really
they were Irish.
I really don't mind Irish people. <They're>...
My wife is, on, my wife is very Come Irish. On. I'm 25% Irish, I think. Steven, great guy, great friend, is 100% Irish. That's not what I mean at all. It's the American interpretation.
I have an Irish friend, I promise. I like Irish people. I have an Irish friend.
No, it's the American taking of this thing, and everyone's acts like they're Irish that day.
I'm with you. I'm not a huge. I'm like not.
You're a Scotsman, so there is this bitter
enemy. I'm a Scotsman. Yeah, and I've never celebrated St. Patrick's Day. You know, outside of like the college, you know, go to a party kind of thing. Right. But like the whole thing is I don't quite understand why we blow it up so much. But my kids, you know, I mean, all they know is that they just like to wear the green and right. you know,
yeah,
celebrate.
Give them a few more years, you can explain to them what's wrong with the holiday. But right now, let them have their fun.
Oh man.
All right. Well, now we can end the show. Now that we went down that road.
Yeah, now that you've offended an entire nation.
Oh yeah, and tomorrow's Pi Day, 3/14. So that's the day I can get behind. Yeah. Eat some pie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's it. We'll be back tomorrow for Pi Day.
Alright, so
now good. I know what I'm talking about in the first minute of the show. Thank you, Critters.
All right. See ya.
See ya.